All right, well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you, and it's great for me to be back in Charlottetown. I really missed the camps last year, and, you know, the last 18 months have been absolutely horrendous and challenging and difficult, unprecedented times for all of us. I would say certainly we live in a changing world. There's an election upon us. And they are great challenges, I believe, for the church and each one of us as believers as we look forward to the world ahead, God willing. I'd like to speak to you today about a subject that really has been on my heart for some time. And it's challenging me personally. And I really hope that I can convey it in such a way that it will challenge all of our hearts today. I'd like to look at the second epistle to Timothy. So if you have your Bible, if you could turn to 2 Timothy, we're going to look at Paul's last letter to Timothy. My subject today is finishing strong. Finishing strong. And I am personally convicted by this. And as I see the world changing, and as I look ahead, I believe that there's going to be challenging times for us as believers. Finishing strong. You know, Paul wrote his last letter to Timothy, I believe, with emphasis and focus that Timothy would finish his course strong as Paul did. The Apostle Paul left a great legacy. Absolutely amazing. A life that was lived all for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at Paul's life, you can say that he was devoted to furthering the kingdom of God. You know, as I read through 2 Timothy, I am so greatly challenged in my own life. A couple years ago, I turned 50, and I look past these years, and my children are raised, and they're out of the house, and I'm thinking about what the next number of years look for me in my life and where I'm going and how I'm going to use my time that God has given me to further the kingdom of God. And I am personally challenged so much when I think of so many men that we have known that didn't finish strong, that failed, and we are all challenged by that. So hopefully as we read these scriptures today, we can challenge our hearts. You know, as I think about Paul too, it's true that Paul had many struggles in his life. Many. All you got to do is read 2 Corinthians 11. I think it says there he was beaten with rods 3 times. He was scourged 5 times from the Jews, shipwrecked and robbed and stoned and spent a night and a half in the deep. I mean, what the struggles were that Paul faced in his life. But he had one focus, and he never let go of this one focus. You can read about it in Philippians 3. He said, that I may win Christ, that I may win Christ. And he was willing to let go of everything else in his life that he would win Christ. And so as I look at this, I also think of the words of Jim Elliot. A lot of you would probably know Jim Elliot. Left a legacy of a life that was lived for God. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Which is very similar to the words of the Lord Jesus that said, he that would save his life will lose it. And he that's willing to lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall find it, even unto eternal life. So let's read in 2 Timothy, we're going to read first of all in chapter 1, and we'll just go through this epistle and pick out a couple of key verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, thank God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Drop down to verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know, what certainty, Paul said, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. This is in reference to the next generation, the legacy that Paul had that he was passing on to Timothy. It was the next generation, faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 to me stands out. Profound words. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. He is alive according to my gospel. Let's drop down to verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. They will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of stone or earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Look at verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Peter says they war against the soul. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I don't think it would be a stretch to say they're here. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. From such, turn away. Let's look at verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou, Timothy, in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee, that's a command, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be diligent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 5, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul's last words here as he's ready to depart. I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Recently, I read the book, Finishing Strong. And if you haven't read it, I would highly recommend it. It so affected me. After I read it, I went and gave it to each one of my sons. Young men, one of them's married. I said, guys, you need to read this. Because it really challenged me thinking about the days that we're living in right now. And the ultimate question for me is, am I going to finish strong? You know, I was shocked by some of the research that Steve Farrar did in his book. And this is what he said, and I quote this, okay? This is from his book. Only one in 10 who start full-time ministry serving the Lord in their 20s actually finish strong by the end of their life. 10%. That start on a road for God in their 20s actually finish strong at the end of their life. Some give up in spiritual living because of moral failures. Some due to marital failures. Others financial and ethical failures. Some just give up out of plain discouragement because it's true, this life is pretty tough. Others go astray in doctrine. Theologically, espousing truths that are really not truths at all. And some leave the ministry because of division in the church. But he divides finishing into four categories. Listen to these four categories. Some believers, their lives are going to be cut short and they're going to die prematurely. Some finish poorly, going downhill spiritually, the last part of their life. Some stumble along the way, but recover and finish okay. And some finish strong. They finish their course, they fulfill God's purpose for their lives, and they leave a legacy of faithfulness to God. And when you read 2 Timothy, you see that strong in the life of Paul. Farrar states over and over again throughout his book, in the Christian life, it's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. And so the challenge to me and all of us here today, we're all on a road of life and there are bumps and challenges and hiccups that we're all going to face. Am I going to finish strong? God knows that my desire is to finish strong. I'd like to encourage everyone here today, young, old, doesn't matter what part of life you're in, I want to encourage all of us, those of us who are believers, to stay the course, remain strong, and finish well. You know, if we are honest today, we will all face tests in our life. Every one of us here today will face the test of immorality. It's a test that's coming, and if you haven't experienced it yet, it's coming. Just keep on living. Every one of us here will experience the test for desire of money and power. Every one of us, and especially fathers that are raising young children, those years are precious time. We will face the test of distraction and neglect. And I know what it's like to be in the corporate world, and I know what it's like to work long hours and be traveling, and it's extremely challenging as a father and a husband to be present and have an influence in your home and be a man of God, because there are so many distractions and it's easy to neglect those people and things that are most dear to us, our family and our children. And so if you read Steve Farrar's book, it's not all doom and gloom. There's a lot of encouragement in it, but he really says that if you're living a passive, casual Christian life, not regularly reading your Bible, not having time alone with God, and not having your heart's affection set on God, you're at high risk of not finishing strong. And so, since this is so difficult, I would ask the question, how do you finish strong? Well, I have four things for you. Number one, you finish strong by fixing your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Just like Peter, as he was walking on that boisterous sea, when he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, he began to sink. What a vivid image of our lives. Fix your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Number two, mortify the flesh. This is painful. It is challenging for every one of us. Number three, devote your heart's affection to the Lord Jesus above everything else. It's easy sometimes to get caught up in religion and playing church and checking all the boxes and not really have your heart's affection drawn to Christ. I would say probably number four is most important for us right now. Renewing your mind and calibrating your thoughts to the Word of God. If you look out in this world, you're going to be lost. Because this world has lost its moral compass. We have so many challenges in the world that we're living in. And unless we as Christians renew our mind and recalibrate our thoughts according to the Word of God, we will lose our way. I feel that with passion and conviction. And so, briefly for the next 15 minutes, I want to speak to you about four things. Number one, our focus. Number two, our flesh. Number three, our fitness. And number four, our finish. Our focus. If you look at what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in chapter 1, Paul speaks to Timothy about his focus. He reminds Timothy in verse 5 of his faith and his family heritage. He says, Timothy, you have genuine, sincere faith. I know it's there. I saw it in your mother. I saw it in your grandmother. You've got a family heritage that has been passed on. I can tell you honestly that I have a family heritage from my father, my grandfather, and generations before me that I am so thankful today instilled into my heart Christian values, scriptural convictions, and I saw a role model of men and women that lived for God. But that's not enough. He says in verse 8, Timothy, you need to be willing to suffer and don't be ashamed of the gospel. Is it a stretch to think that in our day we are going to come into circumstances where there could be persecution for standing for the truth of God? I don't think it's a stretch. You know, every Friday night I go out with a group of people and I stand on a street corner and I publicly announce the gospel. And there is a mounting heckling and disagreement, and society very, very soon will not tolerate the public preaching of the gospel. And I can tell you that it's quite a thing to go there with brethren that I love, young men, and hear them and watch them and see them publicly announce on Pizza Corner, Grafton Street, and Barrington, and Spring Garden Road, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that we're living in days when very soon people are going to try to shut that down. And Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Here's what your focus should be. It's a power statement in verse 12. He says, focus on whom you have believed, and you are persuaded that he is able to keep you. What a powerful statement. I believe it's very fitting for the day and age in which we live that each one of us got to get back to our foundation. We got to remember, we have personally believed in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, and he is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless at the last day. But your focus needs to be on him. And then he says in verse 13, hold fast to sound words. What is that? Doctrine, the scriptures, the revelation from God. Timothy, it's your foundation. Don't lose your way. Hold fast to sound words, the scriptures. I would say that in our day, we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our author and finisher of our faith. He's our Savior. He's our advocate. He prays for us daily. He's our great high priest that is in heaven, reaching out so that we can experience spiritually that help and that support that we need as we move through our Christian life. We need to believe his word, we need to hear his promises, and we need to hold fast to them. That's a strong word, hold fast. You know, it gives you that imagery of the anchor of the soul. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19? We have an anchor, the anchor of our soul. It is Jesus Christ who is in the heavens. He has gone through the veil. We are connected to him. You think of an anchor, there's a chain, there's a connection. He is our anchor, and he has gone before, and we're about to follow. Don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is our focus. I want to speak to you briefly about our flesh. You know, I wrestle with this a lot, and I think that probably every one of us wrestle with the flesh. It's likely our greatest enemy. And the flesh of all things has probably caused the most pain and the greatest spiritual loss of so many lives. And we need to be aware of the flesh. We need to guard against the flesh. You know what Spurgeon said? I love this quote. He said, beware of no man more than yourself, because within you, you carry the worst enemy, our flesh. This is the sinful human nature that even us as Christians, we will struggle with and we will wrestle with until the end of our life. God gives us power over the flesh, and we have the Spirit of God, but we need to access and use those resources as we battle the flesh. You know, I think that's what Paul's talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong when it comes to the flesh. Verse 4, don't get entangled in the affairs of this life, the world, the distractions of a passing world. You know, I can say honestly that this verse has convicted me, because I would say that in my life there have been times when I've been entangled in the affairs of this life. You know, one of the greatest entanglements is debt. Yeah, is debt. And we as young men, and myself and my own personal history, you see things that you want, you like that lifestyle, you legitimize it, you get that bigger house, you get that, you know, extra toy, and all of a sudden your debt starts to mount up. Then you got to go to work, and you got to work harder. And then you got to put more time in, and then you need extra work on the side. And then you're juggling interest. And so you have these challenges that become weights and distractions from focusing on following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you honestly, I've wrestled with that in my own life. And I've struggled with that. And I'm thankful to say that God has helped me overcome and get out of debt. But for young people that are in their 30s and their 40s, just beware of debt, because it can be a huge weight. It can put stress on your marriage. It can put stress on your family. It can put stress on your career because you're not making enough money sometimes to manage the lifestyle that you've got. So these are challenges that all of us have. He says in verse 22, flee youthful lusts. I'm not sure why he says youthful. I'm still battling lust, and I'm 52 years old. And I think that you battle lust until the end of your days. I don't know, but there's various kinds of lusts. But I would think that every one of us in our life, if we're going to finish strong, we have to mortify the flesh. We all face the temptation of sexual immorality. It's on our phones. It's on our computers. It's in the media. It's in movies. It's all around us. And it will challenge us. And it will hurt our souls. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, that, or 1 Peter chapter 2, that the lust of the flesh, it wars against the soul. And so we have to be so careful of that. The temptation for lust of power, prestige. Sometimes we battle our own pride. We're wrestling with our pride because we want to be something that maybe God doesn't want us to be. The temptation of unethical business practices. The temptation of unethical practices in general. Sometimes we take shortcuts. And there are tests that we all face. I worked with a lot of people that are on their second and third marriages. I remember being at a dinner one time in Atlanta, Georgia, and there was four senior vice presidents sitting at the table, and every single one of them were laughing and joking about their marriages. And everybody at that table had been married twice and some three times, and they said that this was the cost that they had to pay to climb the corporate ladder to get to the top. And I thought, how empty, how foolish, but how challenging. We're living in a world where these tests are real. The test of raising children. Raising children today is a huge test in your life. Connecting with those kids. You've got a short window to really sow into their heart spiritual conviction, to live that role model life, to love those kids, to be with them, to connect, to build that family awareness. It's about leadership, leadership in the home, leadership as a father, as a husband, the connection with those kids. That's a test that every single one of us will face in our life. Test of financial setbacks. Maybe you've had them. Test of losing your job. I lost mine in October. It's a test. You know, the test of career challenges. It's a test. It's not if, it's when. And every single one of us will face these tests. And if we're going to finish strong for God, we have to be prepared and we have to survive the ambushes that come at us, one after another. We got to be able to survive. The flesh is a mortal enemy, and we will either put it to death or we will allow it to destroy our spiritual effectiveness. Galatians 5 and 24 says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. What's the answer? How do you do it? Philippians 3 and 1 is a beautiful passage. If we be risen then with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections, your mind on things above. Because Christ is going to appear. This could happen imminently. At any moment, folks, your life could be over. The rapture could come. And it could be with the Lord forever. When Christ, who is our life, will appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And then he says, mortify, put to death the earthly members of the flesh. Put away these sins of the flesh and put on Christ. That's how we're going to have victory. That's how we're going to overcome. I'd like to speak for you a moment about fitness. I believe that this is directly in relation to our usefulness for God. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, I'm convicted by this section as well. Do you want to be used of God? I do. Do you want your life to count for God at the end of your days? I do. Well, how's it going to happen? He says that in a great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And then he says, if a man therefore purge himself. You know what caught my attention by that verse? It's not an outside source. I need to be responsible to purge myself, which means I need to be separated, sanctified. I need to lay aside all these things, and I need to have the cleansing of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to make me available to be used of God. My fitness to be used of God is critical. I used to think that, you know, people that had great gift and talent could be used of God. Do you know that there are many people that have great gift and talent and they can't be used of God because of their character? What does God value more, gift and talent or character? God looks for a clean vessel. What did Jesus say in John chapter 13? If I wash you not, you have no part with me. And so I'm challenged by this. I need to get alone with God every day. I need to confess my sins. I need to purify my heart by the Word of God. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse me and make me fit and available. And as I go to camp this week, I think of all these kids. What an amazing opportunity to have, I don't know, 30, 40 kids for an hour, not even distracted, to listen to the Word of God. I challenged my heart before I came here that I would be pure, that I would be cleansed, because I want to be used of God. I can't do this in my own strength, and you can't live the Christian life on your own strength. And if you try to, you won't finish well. If you want to finish well, you need to be cleansed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, and you need to keep short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our fitness to be available, I'd say this, in the eyes of God, my availability is more important than my ability. Sometimes we get it the other way around. Oh, he's got a great gift. He's able. But am I really available? Or are there other things in my life that I've entangled myself with, and I got this going on, and I got that going on, and I can't go here, and I can't get to this meeting, and I can't be available to this because I got too many plates spinning in my life. If I want to be used by God, I got to be cleansed. I got to be available. I got to be sanctified. And so we sing that beautiful song, Lord, make me to be a sanctuary where God can work in us and through us. You young people, please get a hold of this. You live in a world that's just full of sin. And if you're going to be used by God, you got to be sanctified. You got to spend that time purging yourself in the Word of God with the Holy Spirit to be available. This is a choice that we all make. It's a choice that we ourselves make to be available to God, to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. It's the Romans 12 and 1 experience. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, living sacrifices unto God. And this is something that we're able to do. I want to speak briefly as we wrap this up about our finish. What a powerful legacy that Paul left. What an impact that his life had on the kingdom of God. You know, as he's on his last lap, the finish line is right ahead of him. He writes this beautiful letter to Timothy. We don't know if Timothy ever got there before he was executed. A couple years ago, I had a layover in Rome, and I had 48 hours, and I wanted to see a few things, the Colosseum and the Ark of Titus. And one thing I said to my tour guide, I said, can you take me to the Mamertine prison? So the scholars say that the Mamertine prison is where Paul was chained and spent his last days. And it's still there today. It's a museum. You can go down these windy steps into the dark dungeon. It's only about 5 feet high. And there's a chain there, and it's just, it's awful. But I went down those steps, and I stood for a moment in that dark, damp, awful dungeon, and I thought, here is a man of God who spent his last days writing this letter to Timothy. I wonder if Timothy ever got there before he died. We don't know. But history says that they led him out the Appian Way, and they executed him. And Paul says, I am now ready to be offered. He looked at his whole life as a drink offering that was being poured out. He says, the time of my departure is at hand, and that's the unmooring of the ropes. It's like a boat that's there on the dock, about to take its journey out, and the people are unmooring it. And Paul is about to take his journey out to eternity. And his last words to Timothy, his protege, were, I'm ready. I'm ready. I fought a good fight. I faced hardships. I've endured. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith. Wouldn't you love it, dear Christian, that at the very end of your life, you could finish life like Paul? I'd love that. I don't think there's anything more that I would desire to be able to look back over my life and say, I've poured it all out for God. You know what we say in sports? I left it all in the field. I've poured it all out for God. I've used my time, my resources, my family, my church, my connection. I've done everything that I can to future and further the work of God. Paul faced death in victory. And it was a call of triumph. And he said, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. And not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. You know, you may be here today and you might think, well, maybe you've experienced failure in your past. And you think, I can't finish strong now. No, you can always finish strong. It doesn't matter what's behind you. You can't change the past. There may have been failures that you have committed in your past. You confess them. God has forgiven you. You go forward. Forgetting that which is behind, I press toward the mark for the prize and high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't look back. Don't worry about the past. Spend the rest of your days to the glory of God and finish strong. Could I encourage you today? It's never too late to finish strong. You may be sitting here today and you don't know anything about what I'm talking about. Maybe you're in this meeting and you are unsaved. You're not a Christian. You've never come to Christ. You've never tasted of eternal life or knowing this relationship with God. Can I encourage you to confess your sins to God, get to the cross, and understand that when I was yet without strength as a guilty sinner, Christ died for me, and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, and start on this journey for God, for heaven, and finish well. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 summarize almost everything that I've tried to say today. Here's what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was laid before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And let us, catch this, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May God bless his word to our souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time when we can hear the voice of God, we can read the scriptures, and our hearts can be challenged. We love the Lord Jesus. We know that we have failing flesh. We know that we are all weak. But we thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You've given us the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, help us to be disciplined, consecrated, sanctified, set apart for God, and useful for your service until our little time on earth is done. Bless us all. Search our hearts and help us, Lord, this week at camp or whatever we're doing this week to love you and to follow you and to serve you and look for that day when the Lord will come and return and take us home to be forever with the Lord. And so we look forward to that day and we thank you for all your grace and all your mercy and pray that you would part us with your blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.